This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some. I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time. Turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding now. 5 hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
How we all doing? A week away from Christmas Eve. Our football teams completely suck. It's a quiet, quiet moment in the baseball offseason, but the rumors are rumbling. We'll get to that a little bit later on. We will also get to that very passive-aggressive tweet from Steve Cohen from a few days ago. Connor Hughes will join us coming up at 4 o'clock. A lot of insight on the Jets and the Giants. But I have to admit, Tiki, and this is not something I like admitting because I have a strong opinion. And when I'm arguing with you or anyone else, I usually have a retort because I believe what I'm saying. And so yesterday we engaged in a conversation, you and I did. And then we engaged in that same conversation with Joe Beningo.
Yep.
And both Tiki Barber and Joe Beningo argued with me that Aaron Rodgers should come back as quarterback of the New York Jets next year, and I yelled back at them. But as I was sitting at the Brooklyn Nets game with Sean last night, it was halftime, things got a little quiet, the Nets were down by 35, I turned to Sean, and we weren't talking sports all night. In fact, mostly we were talking about other stuff. I turned to Sean and said, Sean, I'm having a crisis. And he said, what? The Nets are down by 30? I said, no.
The Nets still in the league.
I think Tiki and Joe are right. And it hit me at the game last night that as much as I am fighting you and everyone else about Aaron Rodgers and how he shouldn't come back, he's 41 years old, he's going to disappoint us again, which I stand by, and the cap situation over next year and the year after is worse if you bring him back, and I stand by all that. You said something that is still resonating in my head. You said, okay, who's your quarterback then, bro?
And which you didn't even want to engage with.
Because there's no good answer.
There isn't, which is the exact point. It's the point I was making, other than the fact that for the first time watching that Jaguars game, which, by the way, I had to watch, and I had to rewatch and watch again in detail, because guess who I have this weekend? The Jacksonville Jaguars.
Congratulations.
Right, against the Las Vegas Raiders, and that was a gross game I had to watch last night as well. But watching the game with the Jets, Aaron looked, I'm mostly healthy, but he looked so much more athletic than I. He ran like six times.
Yeah, no, I got you.
And he scrambled away and he deked guys out. Like, all right, you think you got me? Watch this. All right. And he picked up yardage with his legs. His dropbacks looked in control. Like he knew what he was doing, not just kind of limping around like, I just got to throw this with my arm. Right, everything looked different. It looked like Aaron Rodgers from 3 years ago, as opposed to the Aaron Rodgers that we've been watching looking like a statue trying to move. And to me, that tells you something. One, he wants to play. Two, he's getting healthier, which, you know, he probably should have taken the right kind of time to get himself right last year, as opposed to trying to rush back. Mm-hmm. And it's finally starting to come together for him. And, I mean, I'm not going to say he's going to be great. I'm not saying he's winning an MVP. But what the hell else are you doing?
Well, see, everything you just said, the first part of your response, while I understand what you're talking about, that doesn't move me. Aaron Rodgers looking spry and playing well against the Jacksonville Jaguars in the middle of December of a lost season does not move me. I promise you, my view on this isn't changing because of Sunday. It's the last part. It's the last part of, okay, well, what are you going to do? It's hearing Beningo yesterday at 4 o'clock. Joe was passionate, and he's been consistent about this all year, but he was passionate in saying, bro, you want to blow this thing up and do what? And I get it, because I sat there last night at this boring-as-hell Nets game. I mean, it was unwatchable
mess.
Did you
guys make it to the end?
Mathematically, we made it to the end.
The Nets still in the lead?
6:15 left, I trekked out.
Yeah, I mean, we knew it was over. But I'm racking my brain, because to my fellow Jet fans, I got news for you. Based on the cap situation, if they move on from Aaron Rodgers and they take their medicine next year, they're not signing Sam Darnold.
Mm-mm.
They're not replacing Aaron Rodgers with Sam Darnold. They're literally going to start Tyrod Taylor and maybe a young quarterback they draft, or maybe Jordan Travis. Is that a team that's making the postseason? And here's where I hesitate. Because they have so much talent on their roster, which I think they do.
Yeah.
They're a talented roster. They're too good to tank. So if the thought is, all right, get rid of the quarterback, take your medicine on the cap, develop a young quarterback, whether it is Jordan Travis or Carson Beck or someone you draft, unless you're unloading a lot of the talent on this roster, they're too good to tank.
Yeah.
They're better than the Vegas Raiders and the Giants of this year. So then you kind of have this weird season in which you're kind of talented. You've downgraded big time at quarterback, and where are you going? And I get the passion in Beningo's voice. I understand he's in his 70s when he's like, really? Is he all going to do for another season? And I'm only 41 years old, but I get it. Like, are we really going to have another NFL season in which you know going in it's over? And so that's what moved me more than the spryness of how he looked on Sunday. It's what's the alternative? And the truth is the alternative, while better in the long run because of the cap situation,
yeah,
is horrible in
right.
the short run, because what are they going to do
right.
next
it'll be another disappointing season where you're just hoping that you get it. You're not going to be bad enough to get Arch Manning.
It's not happening.
Or whoever's coming out. And Arch might stay an extra year, so he might not be available until the 2027 draft.
Or real quick, Teak, the only way you can be bad enough
yeah.
is to say, all right, Sauce Gardner, all right, Garrett Wilson, all right, Quinnen Williams, and they got some, all right, Olufashinu, which mm-hmm. I wouldn't do.
All right, Breece Hall.
Yeah, Breece Hall, Braylon. We're going to trade all of you. We're really going to rebuild, and I don't know if that makes a lot of sense. They have good young talent on this roster, and I almost think they're too good to tank. And if they're too good to tank, why are you going to suffer this major downgrade at quarterback? And that's where I got sick last night.
Right. And by the way, we're not saying that, you know, the Jets after last weekend are all of a sudden a good team.
No.
They beat the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they beat them on some big plays when they're playing man coverage. I've covered the Jacksonville Jaguars twice this year already. I'll do them again. They give up the most big plays in the NFL, and you saw it multiple times in that Jets game, and so it's not any badge to say we beat the Jacksonville Jaguars. But the thing that I'm saying about Aaron Rodgers is that he looked healthy, and that he looked like I can make those throws now because I'm throwing them mechanically correctly. I can scramble when things break down a little bit, and it wasn't egregious. It wasn't under a ton of pressure, but whenever he got out of the pocket, he looked like he was capable of picking up yardage. And in fact, he did. He got, I think, he almost had 50 yards or 45 yards rushing.
Led the team in rushing,
which is absurd given that Breece Hall and Braylon Allen are on that team. But Aaron looked healthy for the first time. And if he wants to play and he's going to be dialed in like we hope that he was, like he was last year, and we hope that he is going forward, you're not going to do better.
You're not going to do better, but, and here's the problem, all right? Because eyes are wide open here. I am no longer under the spell of Aaron Rodgers. Mm. Next year, he's...
Well, by the way, that's a good thing.
Right? It is a guy. Yeah, it's healthy.
I mean, serious. Stop giving him the benefit of the doubt.
No, I'm not. In fact, I'm going the other way. He's going to be 42 next year. So as well and as spry as he looked on a Sunday in the middle of December with this team dead and buried, are we really believing that at age 42, he'll be 41 for most of the year, he turns 42 first week of December, are we really going to believe that he's going to be this healthy? We talk about how healthy he is now. Okay. Do we believe he's going to get through a season next year?
Four more years.
I do.
Why? Based on what? He's 42 years old.
Better offensive line. Hopefully a better offensive game plan, scheme, so that the ball gets out of his hands on time. He's not taking hits. Hopefully he's not have to run around as much as he did against the Jaguars. But, yeah, I expect him to be healthy.
I think those two things you said are true. Olufashinu has looked awesome at left tackle, and the Jets look like they're developing a functioning offensive line. Number one, I agree with you. Number two, they should have a better coaching staff next year. How could it be worse? Though that's probably not the sentence I want to use, because it could always be worse. So I agree that the things around them may be better, but Father Time never loses.
Yeah.
And so I'm trying to be fair in this where – yeah, you bring it back, he's your best option. Because, again, they're not signing Sam Darnold. First of all, Sam's not coming back. And, B, the Jets would not have the cap room or the cap space or the wherewithal to add more money to the quarterback room. That's not happening. So, yes, he's their best option. But don't we all know how this ends? Don't we all know where this goes? Like, I may be a delusional fanboy, and I've been that for the last 2 years, but my eyes are wide open. As a Jet fan, I know this is going to end badly. Don't we all know it's going to end badly?
I mean, maybe not.
Tiki.
I mean,
Tiki. You think.
Why not lean into letting Aaron Rodgers be the savior that he came here a year and a half ago?
Because he's going
to
be 42, bro.
Okay. Tom Brady did it till he was 45. And I think Tom won the Super Bowl for the Buccaneers at 42.
Yes.
Right? Or
yes.
43, whatever that season was in between there. Because he played two more years and he retired at 45. So, I mean, it's not unprecedented. As long as he's healthy, you got to believe that Aaron Rodgers is still going to be somewhat of Aaron Rodgers. Now, there's obviously a drop-off from where he was when he won the MVPs in the last, you know, whatever, it was 5 years ago, 4 years ago or so. But he's still better than most.
He is the far and away, and this is where it's tough as a Jet fan. He is clearly going to be their best option in 2025.
Yes.
He is. So here's the chart, and I made this last night at 2 a.m. because I couldn't sleep. Those Elves keep me up all night. I'll tell you that right now. You never know where those Elves are going to go.
Oh, you were suffering because of the Nets loss?
Yes, I was very devastated. I couldn't sleep over that. But I started writing out a list, the pros and the cons of Aaron Rodgers' return.
Oh, geez.
And the ultimate pro, as you pointed out yesterday so eloquently, and as Joe pointed out maybe a little less eloquently, but very passionately, was where else are you going?
Mm-hmm.
And the reality is nowhere. Like, if it's not Aaron Rodgers, it's Tyrod Taylor or a young quarterback that you're developing. That's your option. The idea that it's Kirk Cousins or it's Dak Prescott or it's Trevor Lawrence or it's whatever fantasy you want to come up with, I promise you, it's a fantasy. It's not real and it's not true. So that is your biggest pro. The biggest con to me is A, you know how this ends, and then B, you're kind of avoiding the inevitable. Because if you go deep on the cap situation, if they decide to cut him at the end of the season, they'll take a cap hit next year that they could either spread out over 2 years or just take their medicine next year.
Right.
But if they keep him, the dead money cap hit in 2026 is $63 million. So you're almost kicking the can down the road on paying that bill that you eventually have to pay on Aaron Rodgers. And if the season's going to be bad next year or a disappointment next year, we're going to look at that cap hit they have to eventually take and say, did we really do that?
Mm-hmm.
Was that really worth it? And those two negatives, the fact that you know deep down it's not going to work, and B, the cap situation in the future, are horribly big negatives.
Yeah.
But the problem is, do you want to have a football season next year? Do you? Because I like football. I like watching my team and at least convincing myself they have a chance. You can at least do that with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. If it's Tyrod Taylor, and I like Tyrod Taylor, but are we being serious here? Where the hell's he leading them?
Good luck on 2-point conversions. There's a third negative you're not bringing up, Evan, that I think may sway you as well. And it ties into the second negative, which is cap space. What you cannot have happen is bring Aaron Rodgers back and he goes, okay, what are we doing for Devontae Adams? We need to make sure we lock him up long-term to a 4-year deal or whatever else. What needs to happen this offseason if you bring Aaron Rodgers back is it needs to be the new general manager and the new coaches team and no more with Aaron Rodgers in front.
Yeah, but Devontae Adams, you probably still want to hang on to. He's got one more year left on his deal. So even if you just kind of kick his can down the line, I think Devontae Adams is still valuable.
Well, you both are right, by the way. So Tiki's right. If Aaron Rodgers is back, you make it work with Devontae Adams. And, of course, it would occur in a restructured contract.
Yeah.
Because if you look at what his cap number is next year, because he is technically signed, he's not a free agent, it's unplayable. So it is understood that Devontae Adams will get a new contract that will certainly be team-friendly
right.
in terms of the cap number. And I would agree with you, if Rodgers is coming back, even if Rodgers isn't coming back, Devontae Adams can still play.
Right. Funds that thing up, man. Kick it down the line. Throw some void years on there.
Right.
Whatever it is they do to cap to make them not real.
You can make that one manipulative.
Right.
So I agree with you on that. But, Sean, you are right about something else. And this is the end-all, be-all when it comes to the Rodgers yes or no. It needs to be determined by the general manager and head coach. This needs to be whether it's Mike Vrabel, whether it's Brian Flores, whether it's Ben Johnson, Aaron Glenn, you name the head coach and you name the GM. It needs to be their determination. And I think we'd all agree on that.
Yeah.
And I think we'd all agree that Aaron Rodgers isn't going to run the show next year if he's back as quarterback of this team.
Well, I think it depends on who you hire. So if it's Aaron Glenn, it'll be Aaron Glenn's first time as a head coach. Obviously, he's been really good as a defensive coordinator up in Detroit. But his first time as a head coach, he wants to win right away, but he understands that sometimes it takes some time to win. He's likely not keeping Aaron Rodgers. He's going to do the take my pain now. I want the team as I want it.
I would agree with you. I think if it's a first-time head coach like Aaron Glenn, that is going to lean more towards blowing it up-ish.
Yeah. Now, if you're Mark Vrabel and you've been out of the league for a year and you want to get back into coaching, but you want to win because you already know what it takes to build a culture and you know what winning looks like, you might keep Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
Right? And so I think a veteran coach most likely keeps with a plan like a rebuild or a tutored plan for some young player. Maybe that's a guy like Jordan Travis. But if it's a new first-time head coach, which, by the way, if I was a Jet fan, I would want no part of.
I want a guy with experience.
Even if it's Aaron Glenn,
yes.
I would not want that. Because you just don't know.
No, I think this team is set up to have to bring in not only a head coach, but a GM with experience. That's why I'm encouraged by who they've interviewed so far. John Robinson, who GM the Titans. Thomas Dimitroff, who was the GM of the Falcons, rather successfully too.
Yep.
I like where their head's at because I do think experience is going to matter.
Yeah, but again, if those experienced guys come in, they likely have a familiarity, a respect for Aaron Rodgers, and they'll look at the situation that you're in that we've been talking about. What else are we doing?
Yeah.
And likely stick with Aaron Rodgers at least for a year.
So I'm going to frame this very simply because I think this is the way you have to look at it. And I put this poll out earlier, very simply, should the Jets bring Aaron Rodgers back for the 2025 season? And it's 55% yes, 45% no.
Yeah.
But here's how I would frame it. And I think this is how Beningo gets to his point of bringing Rodgers back and where me as more of a middle-aged guy is conflicted. The New York Jets clearly best opportunity to win in 2025 is by bringing back Aaron Rodgers. To me, that's not even debatable.
Mm-hmm.
Their best chance at winning is bringing back Aaron Rodgers. Their best long-term option is to take your medicine and move on from Aaron Rodgers.
Who wants to do that again? We've been talking the last couple of weeks about the giant fan or troller, because I don't know if it's really a fan, flying aircraft over the stadium.
I think it's fans. Come on.
You went to the playoffs and won a game 2 years ago.
I know. But
what in the hell are you talking about? Now, if you want to fly a plane, fly it over the stadium, or at least when the stadium is in use by the team that hasn't been to the playoffs in 14 years.
Don't bring us into this.
I was thinking about this yesterday, and I'm like, did Giant fans forget, or those particular Giant fans forget, that 2 years ago the Giants were in the postseason?
Yeah, but the last 2 years have been miserable.
Okay, the last 14 have been miserable for the Jets.
Why you got to drag me into this?
Jets fans can't afford planes.
We did one. We did one for instance.
Stop. But, you know, you get my point. It's like, what are we talking about?
Well, but your point is, because, again, I think it's framed correctly to say, in the short term of 2025, the Jets' best option at winning is bringing back Aaron Rodgers.
There's no doubt about
that. Their best option long term is to move on and take your medicine.
Well, I mean, maybe not, because we don't know what Jordan... I'm actually worried about him now. Not that I know anything about anything with Jordan Travis, but the fact that he's still on this not able to practice list, not going to come off of injured the injury list, and it's been over a year plus now. Because that happened at the end of his senior season, which was 2 years ago almost, right? So that worries me. But regardless, you never know when you bring in a guy, a young player, young quarterback, whether you get that kid in the third round or second round, there's going to be a bunch of quarterbacks in this draft, even though a couple of them have decided to stay in school. Like the kid from Penn State. What's his name? Drew Aller?
Aller, yeah.
Drew Aller. He decided to go back to Penn State. And right. It makes sense. Why be a third or fourth round pick when you can make $2 million or $3 million at Penn State from NIL? And so it might be as deep, but there's going to be good players that you can pick up in the second or third or fourth round of this draft and let them learn underneath Aaron Rodgers. And it's different than the Jordan Love situation because you're not drafting a guy to replace him right now or in the short-term future. This is it's win-win. And if Aaron Rodgers is healthy, like he looks like he is healthy right now, what better option do you have in 2025?
See, you keep going back to that because it's so good. There is no better option.
There isn't one.
If that's your closing argument, you win. That's why, to me...
It's the second part of my argument. The first part of it is that he actually looks healthy.
I know, but the first part of your argument
doesn't matter to you.
It's the middle of December in a meaningless season now.
But don't you think... I get that, but it's not even about who the opponent is. It's just about the fact that he looks healthy.
All I know is Aaron Rodgers even told all of us, don't judge me on the last 5 weeks. I have a whole career to look at.
Right.
So I'm not going to judge him on the last 5 weeks. I know what Aaron Rodgers can do, but I also know next year he's going to be 42 years old. And I also know next year that if he's back there and gives you a better chance to win, which is a fact, he hurts your chances in 2026. He hurts your chances in 2027.
Of getting a quarterback.
Of cap space. Of paying that debt that you eventually have to pay on Aaron Rodgers at some point.
Okay, but
that's only fungible to a certain point.
It is, but the cap also is going to go up next year, and so that becomes a smaller percentage. It's not going to be whatever it is next year. 14% is what he is next year. This year, by the way, you got a steal.
Yeah.
Because his cap hit was 1.2%.
No, I get you. But in 2 years, his cap hit would be $63 million if they bring him back. And I get why Beningo doesn't think about that, because he's in his 70s. And he's basically saying, I have a better chance to win next year with Rodgers. I can't argue that. He's right. But I'm also going to be a fan for, hopefully, I'm on this planet, for like the next 25 years. And so while I want them to be good next year, I also care about 2026 and 2027. That's why this debate around Rodgers is short-term versus long-term. That's what it comes down to.
All right.
We'll get to your calls coming up. Do you want him back? Look, it'll be up to the new GM. It'll be up to the head coach. But as we sit here today on December 17th, knowing what we know about Aaron Rodgers, experiencing it for parts of 2 years, knowing he's going to be 42, knowing there are zero alternatives, but also knowing how this usually ends for us, the mixed bag of it all. Do you want him back? We'll get to your calls coming up at 888-808-1019. And can we learn something from the New York Mets in this discussion on Aaron Rodgers? We'll unveil that coming up, and we'll talk to you. I try to learn from not just my past mistakes as a sports fan, but from all the teams around here. So as we engage in this discussion on the future of Aaron Rodgers, maybe, just maybe, Tiki, the New York Mets can help us lead the way. Because it was about a year and a half ago, early on in our tenure of working together, where the New York Mets were having a down season. And they had these two veterans, very similar to Aaron Rodgers, I'd say. Two guys that were first ballot Hall of Famers.
Okay.
Two guys that were very old.
I see what you're doing here.
Two guys that I don't even think you'd point to and say they're the reason why the Mets are bad, but they certainly contributed to it. And the Mets had to make a decision. Do they cut bait knowing, hey, long-term it's better to move on from this? Or, as I was even arguing back in July of last year, who's better than Justin Verlander?
Justin Verlander.
Who's better than Max Scherzer? Like, how do you replace those guys? That was one of the fears that I know a lot of us had. Even Joe had. How are you going to replace Verlander, bro? And the Mets ultimately decided, you know what? We're not going to run it back with these old men. We're going to trade them away. We're going to eat a big part of their salary. We're going to take our medicine now, and then in the future, we'll come out smelling like roses. A year later, the guys that they signed to replace said players did enough to help them get to the NLCS, and then they paid their medicine on the money, which allowed them to even more freely spend $752 million on Juan Soto. So the Mets' avenue that they took a year and a half ago was, hey, let's take our medicine, and shockingly came out really well really quickly.
Yeah.
Does that teach you anything in the Aaron Rodgers discourse?
No, I mean, a little bit, but not really, because it was, well, I guess the circumstances were similar. We want to win now, so let's go get the best players, in this case pitchers with the Mets, who can help us win now. It's the same thing with the Jets. They thought, we can win now, let's go get the best quarterback that can help us win now with Aaron Rodgers. I think the difference is that I felt like Scherzer and Verlander, as soon as things went like a little bit south, they were ready to jump.
Mm.
Like, get us out of here. We're good, man. Send us somewhere we can go, I don't know, try to win. I don't know if Aaron Rodgers is that. Maybe I'm being fooled, but he feels like he's loyal, right, to what the Jets are trying to do. Now,
I don't know if that's true. I don't know. I think he's holding his cards close to the vest. You don't think?
Well, to date, it feels like all he's been talking about is, how can I help the Jets? How can I help the Jets? How can I help the Jets? I want to be back with the Jets. But he knows it's not his decision.
Right.
Well, counterpoint real quick. Do you think Rodgers would have the same suitors the way a Scherzer and Verlander teams would want to trade for them? Rodgers may be aware of that, too.
I mean, if you are... I'm trying to think of the teams that would look at Aaron Rodgers and say, you can help us right now. Atlanta, but they have their quarterback in waiting. And
right.
We're likely to see Michael Penix in the next couple of weeks, or next week or so.
Because San Francisco, if they don't want to pay Brock Purdy, as I predicted to you 4 months ago.
Maybe. But the point is, Verlander and Scherzer, with pitching in the MLB, they could not be committed and know they'll get a job immediately. I'm not sure Rodgers thinks he's going anywhere.
I also think Aaron Rodgers, to his credit, has handled this well in that he hasn't said, screw the Jets, I want out. He may think that privately, but he hasn't done that publicly quite yet.
No, he hasn't, and it's because he probably knows exactly what Sean is suggesting. Who else wants me?
Right.
And I remember saying this one before he came to the Jets. It was interesting how everybody was pining for Aaron Rodgers. But the reality was, Aaron Rodgers probably needed the Jets more than they needed him.
Right.
Because where else was he going?
Right.
He was done in Green Bay. Nobody else was really knocking on the door. It was the Jets or nobody.
Yeah, I think that the comparison of the Mets, even though the sports are so different, is that the Mets decided, we're likely to take a step back, but we know at the end this isn't going to work, so let's take our medicine now. Now, luckily, the Mets had a great year in 2024, which maybe we didn't see coming. It was a hell of a step back. It turned out to be a step forward. In the case of Aaron Rodgers, as pointed out by Dom Pell on social media, if they cut him after this season, there would be $49 million in dead money in 2025, where they can either just take their medicine, call it a day, have a year in which they take that step back, kind of like the Mets attempted to do.
That's a lot of money.
It's a lot of money. Now, they could spread it out over 2 years, but to me, I would take it in 1 year. But here's the thing, as Dom points out. If he's retained for next year, his cap hit the following year, when I assume it's really over, would be $64 million. You're paying the piper at some point. And if you don't believe that he's taking you to the ultimate promised land, then is it worth that price tag 2 years down the road? Like, I get it in the short term. I'm even a season ticket holder now. I want there to be competitive football in 2025.
I don't know if his...
But you're paying that piper, bro.
I don't think his cap hit is that high.
No, it is. They put a lot of void years in there, and that they're going to have to pay that number unless they restructure on some kind of team-friendly deal at some point. And that's the danger that they run into. So, any argument made about the short term, their best opportunity to win next year is with Aaron Rodgers coming back. I don't know how anyone could dispute that unless you just think Tyrod Taylor is going to be a superstar, you know, at 37 years old or whatever he is now.
No, he's a good backup. He's exactly where you want him to be, available if your starting quarterback gets hurt. But he's not who you're looking for to say, go win us a championship.
Let's get to your calls on this. What do you want to do? 888-808-1019. Let's go to Michael in Stony Brook. How are you, Michael?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking the call. How are you?
Good. What's up, man?
So this is a tough one. I mean, if Rodgers doesn't have any guaranteed money next year, so if they can't restructure his deal to make it cap-friendly that he exits at the end of next year, then you have to just take your medicine. But the other thing is, you can't have $68 million in 2026. as a cap hit and try while you try to build something. That's crazy.
That's the problem. That's where it hurts you eventually. You know what I mean? Like, well, yes, it gives you a good chance in the short term, and then you got to keep your fingers crossed that the 41, 42-year-old stays healthy, but eventually you're taking an awful amount of medicine.
Well, the problem is then say goodbye to Sauce and Garrett if you have what's basically a tank year next year. These kids are sick of losing. They're not going to stay for 2-15 or 3-14.
But you know what, Michael? I disagree with you, first of all, because I don't think they have a choice at this point.
Right. They're there until after 5 years if the Jets want them to be there for 5 years.
No doubt. I think the Jets are too... Maybe I'm naive, and you could slap me across the face here. I think the Jets are too talented with better coaching to go 2-15 or 3-14. I know they've had a year this year in which their record is awful, but wouldn't we mostly agree that a big part of that was the horrible coaching that they've had this season?
Yeah. I mean, well... I can't even say it was horrible coaching. I think it was a horrible owner decision that led to horrible coaching, right?
I don't think the coaching was great before that, but I get your point.
We never saw it, because we did see a game against the New England Patriots where it was fantastic, both sides of the ball in that game. Now, I know the Patriots are compromised and not very good, but it just, like, things felt crisp. It felt, this is what it's supposed to look like. I remember writing you guys, right? This is exactly why you needed to have patience. And then two games later, you fire the head coach and disrupt everything. And so who knows what this season could have been? And I'm not saying they're good and they were going to win a Super Bowl. They're going to beat the Chiefs or compete with the Bills. I'm not saying any of that. But at the minimum, they could have been a playoff team.
No, and they should have been. And if they had good coaching, they may have been, which is why if they get this new hire halfway right, they're not bad enough to be as bad as our last caller described.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not saying that as like that's a bad thing, because it's good that they have a lot of talent. It's good that you can see how they can turn this quicker because of the talent they have on the roster. But if your idea is, hey, they just got a tank. They got to basically do what the Giants are doing right now, get a top pick, get your quarterback, and call it a day. I don't think that's likely to happen with better coaches with the talent on this roster.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's hard to put it all on coaching, because coaching puts you in position. But at the end of the day, it's players have to make great happen. And the Jets have good enough players to make great things happen. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And so it's easy to just say coaching, 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 coaching. But a coach never takes a snap, right? A coach never takes a hit or breaks a tackle or catches an improbable pass or whatever the situation may be. And so they have the players to do that. And the coaching gets too much emphasis, I think, sometimes. Credit and blame.
Let's go to John in Somerset, New Jersey. How you doing today, John?
Pretty good. Thanks for taking the call.
Thanks, man.
I just want to take it back, Evan, like to the beginning of the season, if you can just go back in time.
Yeah.
And if you think of, well, someone tells you you're guaranteed to have Rodgers at this point in the season with 30 touchdowns, 10 interceptions, approaching 4,000 yards, you would think you had a pretty good quarterback, right?
Yes.
Well, that's what you got.
I know.
And
I know.
If you only had a decent offensive line, he wouldn't have to rush the throws. The receivers need to be more disciplined. You need a coach in there who's going to instill the discipline in the linemen and in the route running. And I'm telling you, if he comes back, you know Rodgers' history in terms of being determined. I think he's going to take this offseason, get very healthy. And you're going to have a decent year next year.
He may be, but John, he may be healthy going into next year, and he may be healthy right now, but next year is his age 41 into 42 season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, assuming he's right. Going to remain healthy?
That's the challenge. You just don't know. At some point, even with Tom Brady, who felt timeless, and he was never going to get old, his last year in Tampa, he just couldn't do it anymore.
Right. Now, what I am happy about, because you do look for some positives over the course of a football season, is Olufashinu is the left tackle. Like, period, stop, it's over. They may have found themselves a left tackle, and I thank Joe Douglas, even though he's gone now. Mm-hmm. He's not dead. He's just not the GM anymore. He's actually on the Ravens sideline over the weekend. Right. Visiting some former friends. Or was it the Eagles sideline? Actually, it was not the Ravens. I think it was the Eagles sideline.
He was at that game.
Yes, he was at the Eagle game. So I like that Olu Fashanu is going to be their left tackle. I love that AVT is blossoming and has been mostly healthy. I love the fact that they are developing an offensive line that has some solidness to it.
Right.
But
this is three good players on that line.
And that's fantastic. But I just can't assume that because he's healthy now, he's going to be healthy next year. And our last caller brings up a point that makes me sick. He's right, but it makes me sick. If we sat here on September 5th and said Aaron Rodgers will play all 14 games, he will have thrown 23 touchdowns to 8 interceptions, I would have said, this is a fun year.
Right.
We're having fun. This is a good. And oh, by the way, they're going to trade for Davante Adams, right? You told me only those things. He's played every game through 14. He's 23-8. He's thrown for 3,200 yards, and they added Davante Adams. I'd say they're 10-4. Maybe they're 9-5.
Right.
Worst case scenario, they're 8-6.
Yes.
To tell me all that, and oh, by the way, they're 4-10. You know what that proves? Stats lie. That's what it proves.
Yes, absolutely it does. And games are won in one or two plays and in situations that you have to watch to know.
Indeed. Kyle is in Eatontown, New Jersey. How are you, Kyle?
Evan, how you doing, buddy? Good to hear from you.
Good. What's up, man?
It just feels like Brian Gutekunst fleeced the Jets here and knew exactly the right time to move on from this dude. I tried to explain to you guys, you know, I think Peaky hit it right on the head. The Jets needed Aaron Rodgers way more, Aaron Rodgers needed the Jets way more than the Jets needed him. They could have went in a different direction. I think it was me who kind of was like, throw the book at Lamar Jackson.
Right.
And, you know, it didn't happen.
Right.
And they went in this direction.
Yeah, I don't think that was ever really a possibility. He was just kind of trying to fleece the Ravens. And he got it.
He did.
And he's worth it, by the way.
Yeah.
No doubt. No doubt. My point is, you know, moving forward with this year, and if you look at this year, this guy was an absolute cancer. Your head coach was fired in 5 games. Your GM fired, right? All the media, the antics that were portrayed with him, you know, with the sideline stuff, you know, just his smugness. He doesn't bring good energy to locker rooms anymore. He's not the leader that you need if you want to change things here. Hmm. It's unfortunate that you have the cap hits that you're going to have, but, you know, I would move in a different direction. I would, you know, pray to God that he retires or cut him and move on.
But Kyle, who is that player? Because it's not going to be someone you're drafting because you're not. There's only 2 quarterbacks really that are worth taking in the
right,
first round.
Right, right.
Maybe you get lucky with a second rounder like the Eagles did with Jalen Hurts, but that even took 3 years.
Right,
right. So, like, what are you doing at quarterback for next year, especially with a roster that's actually pretty good?
That's what I would love to hear your take on
Look, I'm not saying you're taking the easy way out because I do remember your call a few years ago about Lamar Jackson. And I said the same thing about Lamar 2 years ago. I'll say it today. I don't think he was ever available.
Yeah, I think he was playing the Ravens.
Yes.
Or playing hard to. I don't think he was playing the Ravens because he loved the organization. I think he was playing hard to get with the Ravens so that they respected him the way that he deserved to be respected. And then after he won his second MVP, it was like, all right, whatever.
And I think
we got to do what we got to do.
We got to have to ask ourselves a question because I don't think every league executive is stupid. Why did no team make a big offer for Lamar Jackson during
because
that standoff?
I think it was known
exactly
that the Ravens were going to pay him.
That is my point. I don't think league executives said Lamar's washed. I don't think they said they didn't want him on their team.
Well, you know what happens is that you get calls because he's still under contract, so you get calls. Hey, what are you guys thinking about Lamar? We're going to pay him. We just got to go through some processes and blah, blah, blah.
Interesting.
Blah, blah,
so it may have been even that direct.
Absolutely. Yeah. It was probably that direct.
But that's why I...
Like, don't talk to me about Lamar. We're not giving him...
Right.
Free. You don't have enough to give me to get Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, because I think the way it worked back then with that free agency was you'd have to sign him, and then the Ravens could match, and it's over. And if they don't match, you'd have to give up multiple first-round picks,
right,
which I would admit would have been worth it for 100%. Lamar Jackson.
2 first-round picks would have been absolutely worth it for Lamar Jackson.
But the reason I don't like Lamar's name coming up in this discussion is it was not real.
Yeah.
It was not a real thing. The real guys to talk about are Derek Carr, okay, or drafting another young quarterback.
Well,
those were the options.
No, the option, and we all missed it,
it was Baker Mayfield.
Okay.
He was the option.
That's fair. That's a fair one, yeah.
Right? Because his last year in Cleveland, he had a bum shoulder. He played through it. He got a bad rap because they were a bad team. It is what it is. And he ends up in Carolina in that dumpster fire. Then he goes out to the Rams after they win a Super Bowl and they're compromised and they need someone just to be the guy for a couple of games. He plays after, less than a week at practice. Actually plays pretty well. And then he ends up in Tampa. And so it's like...
You're right. That would have been the guy.
He was the guy. But yeah. We were kind of fooled to think he was washed because of that last sequence in Cleveland the Rams.
Wasn't enough evidence from what happened briefly in L.A. and Carolina and the end of Cleveland to think he'd be the answer.
Right.
But at 28 years old, you're right. You're right that looking back on it, that would have been the way to go. But his name wasn't even mentioned that much.
Nobody even thought about it. Everybody thought he was done.
You know who mentioned him? I do have to give credit to one guy.
Who's that?
Joe. Joe had mentioned Baker Mayfield.
Really?
Yeah. What about Baker? I think his first option was Rodgers. I think most of us was. But Baker was certainly at least the guy he mentioned.
And the one thing about... So there's a couple of guys, and this is a separate conversation, but Josh Allen is the dude. Tight with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
The black guys, the white guys, the guys from the hood, the guys from the money, whatever. He's tight with everybody. Lamar Jackson, exactly the same way.
Mm-hmm.
Baker Mayfield, less of a talent from a quarterback position, exactly the same way. Like, and this is to the point of our last caller. Those guys come into your locker room, everybody comes together.
Right.
Right? Everybody is one. And it's obvious. Like, when you go to, because I can now go to the practices, you go to these, you see it, you feel it. Right? You feel this energy that's binding these teams. And certain teams can do it without the quarterback. Sometimes it's like a linebacker or whatever player it may be. But if it's the quarterback, it's special. And the Ravens have that. That's why they're so consistently good. The Bills have that. That's why they're consistently good. Tampa is starting to get that because of Baker Mayfield. Like, look for that.
Yeah, you know who also had that too? I'm not even joking, but it's kind of funny when I say the name, but he totally had that, was Mike White. Which is why T-shirts were made for him.
Right.
Everybody loved him.
Yeah, no,
so
you're right.
He had the bond too.
Both sides of the ball.
Yeah,
the guys.
That's right.
The problem was he wasn't good. He wasn't good enough.
No, I know.
You know what I mean?
Well, and
you're right. He just wasn't good enough.
Right. You need both. You need to also be sort of good.
Yes.
You know. Let's go to Paul calling from Brooklyn. Good afternoon today, Paul.
Hello, there, gentlemen.
What's up?
I'm a huge fan of your show.
Appreciate it.
Long-time listener. 47-year Jet fan. I'm 57 years old. I've been a fan for 10 years. I look at it like Joe. Who's best for the team next year? Who's going to give us the best shot to win next year? Now, I think the whole conversation is premature because, you know, the Rams have a big game coming up against the Jets, and we would like to see how Rodgers does. I think they're finally getting together, Rodgers and Garrett Wilson and this offense. They're finally getting together, and they're finally getting healthy. And if they show something in these last three games, then I would feel a little more different.
Paul, I
understand what you're saying about the cap hit.
I totally get what you're saying because I think that's what's happening to most people, that they are looking at what's happening on the field. You even refer to it, how Aaron looks, and says, hey, why can't this be the case next year? I'm trying to not pay too much. I'm not paying too much attention. I'm going to watch it, but not have my opinion based on that.
Yeah.
Because Aaron Rodgers can be good next year. It could happen. Sure. He's showing you that. He's always had that with better coaching.
And now he's healthy.
With health, with chemistry that he was still developing earlier this season. But it's bigger picture than that. Because in the short term, there's no debate. The New York Jets have a chance in 2025 if they have Aaron Rodgers at quarterback. And assuming they bring in a veteran head coach who gets and does a better job than the crap we've watched over the last decade plus. But it's more than that. It's the big picture. And I think if you're a younger Jet fan, I would guess it's a divide. Because I think the older Jet fan, our last caller is 57 years old. I don't know if that's even old, but old-ish, I guess, would say, hey, I want the guy that gives me the best chance to win. And I think we'd all agree it's Aaron Rodgers. But if you're looking big picture at, I want to build a roster, I want sustained success, I also want to find my long-term answer at quarterback, then bringing him back and having that cap hit eventually hit you a year or two down the road, like, it doesn't give you the best chance to win long-term.
Yeah. I think when you start looking at the free agents, so the question that
that last caller just asked us or asked me directly, there's a couple that make sense. And Sam Darnold is not one of them, because Sam Darnold's going to make $40 million next year.
Yeah, there's two reasons why Sam Darnold will not be a Jet. It's not worth a discussion. Number one, you mentioned the money.
Yep.
They're not going to have the money capabilities of doing that, especially if they have a dead money hit on Aaron Rodgers. And number two, if I could get into Sam Darnold's head, there's no way in hell he would come back here.
Yes.
You could change the coach.
Right.
You could change the GM. That man would never go back to the place that almost killed his NFL career.
And then there's a bunch of other names out there like Zach Wilson, Trey Lance, Tyler Heineke, Jared Stidham that aren't interesting. The only other player that has a little bit of interest, and it's because of his age, is Justin Fields.
Yes, I'd agree.
That's the only other guy.
That'd be the only guy.
And after that, I don't want Jameis. He throws an interception in his sleep.
Jameis just got benched, by the way.
Right.
He is not the quarterback of the Browns anymore.
Mac Jones is, I know he's young, and he was a Jet killer when he was a Patriot, but he makes poor decisions, and he's an interception a week type of guy. There's just not a ton of free agent options in 2025.
No, I know.
Would you be interested in Will Levis?
No.
Okay.
Daniel Jones?
No.
I don't think that Will is actually going to come free.
Oh, they're going to hold on to him?
I think, yeah, they're probably looking to draft somebody or bring somebody in, but they're not going to give up fully on him
yet.
But think
about,
he's only in his second year.
No, I get that.
This will be his third year next year.
If they move on from Aaron Rodgers, right, which is, I'm trying to guess, like, what's the likeliest right now? By the way, Connor Hughes will join us at 4 o'clock. We'll ask him again.
What do you mean the likeliest way?
The likeliest answer on if Rodgers is here or not.
Right.
Like, how does this all end?
Don't forget, there is a no trade in his contract.
So they're not trading him. It would either be cutting him.
So it's either keeping him or cutting him.
Correct. Or he retires, which I do not think is the case.
Well, he's already said he wants to play, so I got to take him at his word.
He's walked that back, though. He says he wants to play, and then he's also said, I got to go think about it at the end.
Four more years.
So he's given a... Aaron Rodgers wants us to watch his every step for 2 months before he decides.
He's just trying to get us to watch that Netflix documentary.
I'm not doing it.
I'm not doing it. Yes, you are.
You will.
Well, who's doing it? Me?
I'm not doing it. Over the break, you're not watching.
Somebody's got to do it, because we got to talk about it.
Well, so, that's Sean's job.
No, we don't. We don't have to talk about it.
Loogie, you do it.
I'll watch it.
Good, you watch it.
I said he's misunderstood.
We've talked enough Aaron Rodgers for 2 years. I'm not talking him.
It explains how he becomes the villain.
You know what the reality is? I read, who wrote the book again? I did a show with him.
Ian O'Connor.
Sorry, Ian. I read his book or listened to his book. I consumed every bit of Aaron Rodgers' podcast 2 off seasons ago. I've listened to him on McAfee. I'm done. I got my fill. I'm done. I'm going to watch old wrestling and old baseball games during Christmas vacation. I'm not watching Aaron Rodgers talk about his rehab.
You know what you could do on Christmas vacation? Watch Christmas Vacation.
I could do that. That's certainly an option. I may do that too. It's funny. I'm looking at Jet fans' reactions to the poll I put out earlier today. It was like first thing in the morning.
And
it's 55% bring him back, 45% no.
I'm telling you, it's more surprising than you think.
And one guy.
It's simply because of the lack of other options.
I understand. One guy, I got to give him credit, even though he's got a weird Twitter name. I think it's Akiffel or something like that. Yeah. Akiffel literally sends a screenshot of my favorite thing to do now in sports internet, which is to go on StatHead, which is Pro Football Reference, Baseball Reference, and there's like this versus feature. So, for example, I did it a lot with you, which is proven to me you are a Hall of Famer.
Mm-hmm.
I put Tiki Barber's name in with one of these other running backs, and they give you all the career stats.
Oh, yeah.
And like sometimes it's obvious, right? So I do that a lot. Did it with Alex Bregman versus Pete Alonso last night. So someone sends me a graphic of just this season, Aaron Rodgers, Patrick Mahomes. And their numbers are like identical. Yeah. They're like identical.
Yeah, but it's, I mean.
I know. And what does it prove? Numbers don't mean anything.
Yeah.
One guy's 13-1, the other one's 4-10. But the point that Akiffel was making was one has a Hall of Fame head coach. The other literally doesn't have a head coach.
Right.
Now, I think it's more than simply that, but my point is not to even say that Rodgers is Mahomes, because he's not, is that the debate is very heated between Jet fans on what they want to do. It's a very mixed bag on, you're an idiot if you can't bring him back, you're a moron if you don't want him back. Like, it is a hot debate in the Jet community, and both sides make a lot of sense. Really, it's determining, do you care about the future? Or do you just care about next year? That's how I frame it.
Right.
I think it is a very, that's how I make it simplistic for people to digest. If it's just about 2025 and you're a season ticket holder or you're old, then it's Aaron Rodgers. If it's, hey, I want to build sustained success, then it's cutting Aaron Rodgers.
You say it's, you keep saying that Aaron Rodgers gives the Jets the best chance to win, but in his last two healthy seasons, he hasn't won.
No, but again, we talked about the other alternatives. Do you think that Tyrod Taylor would give him a better chance to win? I know where this is going. Before he finishes, I know where this is going.
Well,
Tiki,
where
this is going to go to him saying that Jet should sign Tommy DeVito.
That would be a very interesting conundrum for Positive Tommy, who has been fired from the Jets. But I do think that is sort of a match made in heaven if you want to go down that route. But Rodgers won 8 games in his last year with Green Bay. They've won a lot more games with Love at quarterback. They had better head coaching there. He did not win. He's won 4 games this year for the Jets. At some point, you just lose that magic elixir to be a winner.
Who whether gives it's a them locker the best chance to win next year?
I don't think it's Rodgers. I think
who
it's,
is it? Though?
I think it's Taylor or bringing in a Matt Stafford
tough,
or someone else.
Like, I can't. First of all, Matthew Stafford's not an option. So you got to eliminate the veteran quarterbacks, because if you take your medicine on Rodgers, okay, which makes a lot of sense, you are not bringing in an expensive quarterback. I don't even think you're bringing in Justin Fields. Yeah. I got to be honest with you. I don't think you have the money to do that. So I literally think you're looking at Tyrod Taylor / let's say they draft Carson Beck. Where's he projected to go? Second round, third round?
Yeah.
He could be like the Lamar Jackson trade into 32 and pick him for the fifth year.
Yeah, but not nearly Lamar Jackson as the player.
No, I meant
but
that.
But you're right, because he's hurt, right?
Or he just got hurt, yeah.
He's got a forearm injury.
So, but that's my answer.
He had a subpar senior year relative to his previous.
But that's my point. Like, they're not going to draft someone in the first round. So your options next year, if you're being realistic about this,
are the second round guys.
Is Tyrod Taylor, Jordan Travis, and potentially a second round, third round pick. So knowing that, Tommy,
Jalen Milroe.
Okay. Who gives the Jets the best chance to win in 2025?
I still think a Taylor, where he hands the baton to either Travis or Carson Beck or Milroe, is a better short term and long term.
Short term, they win more games with that?
That's
a tough one, man.
I know, but
I get your knock on Rodgers. Like, I'm not debating that. Like, that's fine. He didn't win this year. He didn't win in great. Like, totally agree. I'm saying in 2025 with this roster, again, taking the veterans out because they're not adding them. That's a fantasy.
I know, but this is for like Joe and like an older Jet fan. What is really the ceiling of Aaron Rodgers when you're in the same conference as Mahomes, Allen? Josh Allen can't even get to the Super Bowl. Aaron Rodgers at 42
is
getting to the Super Bowl?
That's a fair point. Their best chance to win is Rodgers, but where is it taking us?
Right, what's the ceiling?
A fun year.
What is the most you could get out of it? But we know what the worst is.
Think about what the Jets actually need to have happen. They need to have a successful season. It's been too long since they've had one. Mm-hmm. They need a successful season. Now, that maybe that's playoffs, or maybe that's just people feeling good about the team. It's how long since has it been since you felt good about this team?
Forever.
Exactly.
Because even their winning season I felt horrible about them when it ended.
So getting to the like Super Bowl, fantastic. But put it way in the back of your mind. Just have a successful season.
Are you saying, okay, because this is where you can try to convince me, all right? Aaron Rodgers comes back. I think Lugie's over all right. Like, they're not winning the Super Bowl. I mean, we could fantasize about it. And maybe I did at the beginning of this season.
There's too many teams that are...
Yes.
That are on the cusp of Super Bowls and can't get there because of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Correct. Like, I'm with you about that. Like,
when it's all said and done, Josh Allen's career might go down as, God, he was great, but he was blocked by Pat Mahomes.
Yeah, Lamar Jackson too.
Lamar Jackson's the exact same way.
Let's walk down this road and tell me, because this is where maybe you can convince me, Lugie, and others. They win 10 games. Mm-hmm. They have a nice, cute 10-win year. They win a wild card spot. And they get knocked out in the first round. Okay, would you agree that that's possible, Tommy? At least possible.
Yeah, because there's only one team that's getting the bye, and that's probably Kansas City Chiefs. So you're going to likely play the Baltimore Ravens, the Pittsburgh Steelers, or the Buffalo Bills.
Right, and you're going to lose, okay? Do you think, even if Rodgers runs off into the sunset after the season, that would be enough in developing the culture, they say, for Garrett Wilson? Why are you groaning? You haven't even
because
heard the rest
I know because I'm trying to.
I'm asking Tiki a question.
You know what develops good culture?
Go
winning.
Well, is that winning enough?
Yes.
Even if Rodgers leaves,
winning develops a good culture.
Well, there's your answer.
It feels like fool's gold to have 1 year like that where you lose in the playoffs. However,
but he's saying it builds culture.
And the Jet fan to go this long without a playoff appearance, I understand what that would mean, even if you lost 40-0 to the Ravens to get to the playoffs, to get off the schneid.
No, but you know what matters more to me?
It's something to take into the next year. And that's important.
Yeah, see, that's what gets to me more. Like, forget the short-term benefit of, ooh, the Jets are in the playoffs. Yes, I'd be ecstatic. All's true. If you're telling me, hey, that's valuable for Garrett Wilson and Sauce Gardner and Quincy Williams and Quinnen Williams and Olu Fashanu, and that's something that can help build in the future years without Aaron Rodgers, then there's a value to that.
Right.
I think it's value to those guys, but it could ultimately set up for long-term failure for the coach and GM to set up expectations and win 10 games, make the playoffs, and then go, now what at quarterback? Now let's go through. Yeah, Have we learned nothing from the 2022
but
Giants?
But you know what, though? I think you take that. I think you accept that because you have to get guys hungry to take the next step. Right, and the perfect example is we keep talking about him, Lamar Jackson. We've done a couple of his games this year, and when we talk to him, he is obsessed with perfection because he knows it's. They haven't been perfect, obviously. They've made mistakes and et cetera. They've lost some games that they probably shouldn't have, and they're 8 or 9 and 5 right now. They're not even in leading their division despite having a quarterback who should be in the MVP conversation. But when you talk to him, he talks about perfection because he knows that forget what happens in the regular season, the only way he's getting to a Super Bowl is if he's perfect against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Right.
And so because they've been there and they understand how what it feels like to get that close and then fail, they're hungrier for it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
No, so I got you.
You're not going to build that by being crappy for 3 years and being like, oh, hey, we come out of nowhere. Like the Houston Texans. Look at us. Right, it's just that's not how you get there. You get there by building like this insatiable hunger, and the only way to get really hungry for something is to taste it.
Yeah, I want to taste it, man.
Right, taste it just a little bit.
I'm so sick of not tasting anything when it comes to football. I've lost my taste buds; are dead because of the NFL. But I will say this: when we come back, we'll get back to your phone calls at 888-808-1019. But last night, not only while sitting there at a bad basketball game did I have this epiphany about Aaron Rodgers, but believe it or not, I also had an epiphany about the New York Football Giants. My brain really works overdrive when I'm at a bad basketball game. Why and what I learned while watching bad basketball about the New York Giants and the future of the NFL. We'll get to that coming up. A brand new edition of Posted and Toasted at exactly 3:30 today. And Connor Hughes with some interesting thoughts on the Jets and Giants at 4 o'clock as well. 888-808-1019.